Welcome everyone to the Baby Wearing Club podcast, where we explore the art and practice of baby wearing. I'm your host, Carla Castro. Thank you so much for making the time to tune in. For today's episode, I wanted to share a little bit about baby wearing and breastfeeding. It is August and it is Breastfeeding Awareness Month. And the first week of the month is World Breastfeeding Week, which is coordinated by the World Alliance for Breastfeeding Action. And their central campaign aims to inform, anchor, engage, and galvanize action on breastfeeding and related issues. This year's focus is to remind us that protecting breastfeeding is a shared responsibility. And breastfeeding and baby wearing go hand in hand together, as baby wearing actually helps facilitate breastfeeding in so many ways, from keeping you and your baby close together, to promoting lactation, to using a carrier to nurse on the go, or even just using a carrier as a nursing cover. So as I've been sharing about breastfeeding and baby wearing on social media this month, I've been thinking a lot about my own breastfeeding journey, which I'm actually still on since I'm still nursing my 15-month-old. I started baby wearing and breastfeeding around the same time, a little over 10 years ago, just before my first baby was born. I knew that I wanted to baby wear and breastfeed. It was something that just made sense for me. The ideas of home birthing, carrying my baby close, and nourishing her with my breast milk just really fit in with my desire to embrace the natural process of becoming a mother. I remember getting formula in bottles for my baby shower and thinking to myself, thanks, but no thanks. And literally stuffing them at the back of one of my kitchen cabinets, thinking that I would never need them. Well, I was very glad, actually, to have them already on hand when I needed them, because baby and I needed a lot of help establishing our breastfeeding relationship. Labor had been very quick with my first baby, and she was born within 20 minutes of arriving at the hospital. Already, just that scenario was not how I wanted it all to start, but due to what doctors believed was cholestasis of pregnancy, I had to have a hospital birth. So there I was, all rushed and stressed, and within moments of entering the labor and delivery room, baby literally flew out in one push. It was so fast and with so much force that I suffered some injuries, and we found out later that baby had two. I was in a lot of pain. It was worse than labor pains. I had a hematoma the size of a banana, and my sciatic nerve was pinched, so I was in extreme pain. And I had to be on strong pain medication, and I couldn't stand or sit or walk without pain. And it was not pleasant at all. And once they brought me up to my room, my recovery room, the nurse that was tending to me at that time came in with a pump, and she told me to start pumping and started to offer baby a bottle right from the start. My milk didn't come in within the time frame that they like, so I was told to supplement right away. Feeding my baby became my only focus. It was painful and very unpleasant to feed her, but I had to do it day in and day out. I would cry as I tried to nurse her, and I would try to comfort myself with phrases like, it's okay, and this is a good thing, I'm feeding my baby, it's okay. My midwives tried to help. They taught me different latching positions, we tried out the SNS, they referred me to a local breastfeeding clinic, and the doctor at that clinic noticed that my little baby, baby Joanna's mouth was small, and that her jaw was slightly off to the side due to how precipitous her birth had been, which had caused a lot of the difficulties we were having. And it was causing her difficulty with latching, and it was one of the reasons why it was so painful for me. So she got us on a nipple shield, and she also got me a prescription for domperidone, and it just became a very regimented and scheduled method of feeding. We were doing what I recently found out is called triple feeding. So I would offer the breast for 10 minutes on each side. Then I would top off with a bottle of either some pumped milk or formula or combo. And then I would, at the same time as she was bottle feeding or right after, I would pump for another 10 minutes per side. And by the time everything was clean, and baby was burped and changed and all of that, it was time to start the whole process all over again. And it was really exhausting, and it was so discouraging because I was never able to pump more than a couple of ounces per pumping session. So as much as it was a lot of work and discouraging, it was also, you know, a way to feed my babies. So I just kept pushing through and saying, you know, that's all that matters. Baby's gaining weight, right? But after 2 months of that, I just couldn't deal with the pumping anymore. It was so time consuming and awful and discouraging. So I just stopped pumping and I would just top up with formula. I felt pretty defeated. Honestly, it was really hard, but I tried a lot of things and, you know, we were at this point where I had done herbal supplements, galactagogues, prescription medicine, and nothing seemed to really help with my quote unquote low supply. So eventually we weaned off the nipple shield, weaned off the domperidone, and we just got on with a routine of using formula to supplement. I would place baby to the breast, nurse her for a few minutes, and then top off with some formula. And, you know, it was fine, but it did cause a lot of stress for me because going out meant that I was always worried if I could have enough milk for her. And everything revolved around that. You know, did I have enough milk? How many bottles did I have? That's how long we could stay out for. And if we got down to about one bottle, it was just like, okay, we need to go home because baby has to eat soon. And it was not very pleasant. It was not relaxed at all. It was pretty stressful. And around the time that baby was about 4 months old, she actually started to refuse the bottle, which added more stress because, you know, I had been told, and it was in my head that, you know, these experts had told me that I quote unquote didn't produce enough milk, that quote unquote my breasts were less than ideal. And so I needed to use these bottles and formula to feed my baby. And we even tried different formulas because, you know, some of them caused her to have an upset tummy, but she was not a fan of a lot of different ones. And even with the only one that she finally accepted, at that age, 4 months, she started to refuse it. And she basically weaned herself off of it. And my body just knew what to do and stepped up production because she was definitely nursing more. The day that it really became clear for me that she would not take formula again was when she was around 5 months. 5 months old, and I had to have surgery to remove my gallbladder. I fed her before my surgery, and even though she was hungry while I was away, she refused the bottle. But she happily and hungrily nursed once we were reunited about 5 hours later. And we never tried offering bottles again after that, and we just breastfed. And I breastfed her up until she was 2.5 years old. It had been my personal dream and goal to exclusively breastfeed my baby, but I didn't realize how hard it could be to achieve. I thought it would just happen because it's supposed to be natural, you know? But looking back, I am amazed at, you know, our body's ability to nourish our babies. It's such a gift. It's been such a gift, and one that I've tried to not resent and also tried not to take for granted for the past 10 years. After finally reaching my personal goal, I went on to tandem feed and to extend breastfeed through 2 miscarriages and 2 pregnancies. And in total, it was 7.5 years of straight breastfeeding that I managed to accomplish. And I have to say, I'm pretty proud of that. It was not easy. Each baby was different. Each season and its challenges were unique, but we did it with support, knowledge, perseverance, and trusting the whole process. You know, here we are, almost 9 years of breastfeeding my 4 babies. Tandem nursing really helped with having some milk ready for my 2nd and 3rd babies, but starting from scratch with baby number 4 last year meant that I experienced a whole bunch of new challenges. From engorgement to a strong letdown to mastitis for the first time. Again, though, with support and knowledge and perseverance, and again, just trusting that the process, what the process was, we've made it to 15 months of nursing so far. And it's been something that, you know, one of those things that I'm really proud of in my mothering journey. And we just continue to learn each day. It's definitely an ever-changing relationship, the breastfeeding relationship with your child. And looking back, I also, you know, baby wore each one of them a lot. And even though I did wear them for so long, I do wish that I'd worn them more. Because I can't anymore. And it's something that you do miss. It's something very, very special. And I really think that being able to have them close to me for long periods of time while establishing our breastfeeding relationships, you know, through illnesses and growth spurts and teething and all the changes that come with babyhood, having them close to me really helped us have a strong and thriving breastfeeding relationship. I didn't have much success learning the art of breastfeeding in a carrier, not until I had my third, and she was pretty much a toddler at that point. But I have used my wraps and my slings to help support baby, or as a shield from the sun or the wind, which are a pretty big deal to my little ones, or even just for privacy. It's you know, been a really helpful tool for me through all four of my breastfeeding relationships. And it's just important to remember, you know, that breastfeeding and baby wearing are two different skill sets that you should be confident in separately before combining them. This makes the combined process way more efficient, and it just helps set you up for success. And even though I had, you know, both of them, I was pretty confident in both of them. Combining them was still tricky for me. And some people find that it is. Some people find it a lot smoother of a process, but for some of us, it's a lot more challenging, even if we're experienced baby wearers and experienced at breastfeeding as well. And some carriers are actually better suited to nursing on the go. And if that's important to you, I personally find that the ring sling is the quickest and simplest to adjust for newborns as well as older babies. It can be done in almost all carriers, but some of them do need more adjustments than others, and many only need to be loosened a tiny little bit to lower baby into position. But once they're latched on, you can just snug up the carrier slightly, and that helps support baby's weight. And, you know, all of this does require you to be really attentive to your baby and to keep one hand on them to either support their head or support your breast. But you do have to be paying very close attention to them while they're actively nursing. And you might be able to be hands-free with an older baby or toddlers, but with small babies, I really, really want to encourage you and make you aware that you need to continually monitor them so that their airway is always clear. And that once baby is done actively nursing, it's imperative that you bring them back to an upright position, that you snug up the carrier to support them, and that they are high up on your chest. You can then be hands-free again, and hopefully baby has a nice long nap with a full belly. The ring sling is also my favorite because in a cross-cradle position, I can sit down anywhere for a break too, and the carrier helps support baby's weight and helps keep her calm, especially if she's overstimulated and restless, and I can use the tail as a shield from the elements or as a cover for privacy. And if you do use your carrier as a cover, just again, please be sure that you can see baby's face and that their airway is always clear. Just ensure that there's enough airflow so baby can breathe some fresh air while they're nursing. And again, once they're done actively nursing, even in that cradle position, or if you're using your carrier as a cover, bring them back up to an upright position so that you can snug up the carrier and support them nice and high up on your chest. And if these two skills, you know, combining them doesn't really work out as you expect, that's okay. You know, I just want you to know that it's okay. For many of us, it's simpler to find a comfy spot to sit down, take baby out and nurse them, you know, however is most comfortable for us to hold them and nurse them while sitting down, and then return them to the carrier once they're done and just continue on your way, whether you're at an outing, at a museum, or at a special event, or just out for a walk. You know, either way, baby wearing is a fantastic tool to help you in your breastfeeding journey. And It's really interesting because one recent study even showed that parents who baby wear were more likely to still be breastfeeding or feeding expressed human milk at 6 months postpartum at a 68% rate over parents who didn't baby wear, who were only 40% still breastfeeding or feeding expressed human milk at 6 months. That's a huge difference. And it's, you know, another great point to see how baby wearing can really support you in your breastfeeding journey. And it's so exciting to see scientific research results confirming what, you know, a lot of us have come to experience in our own personal journeys. And in sharing my story, sharing this with you and the things that worked for us, I hope to encourage you in your own journey, you know, to know that others struggle in similar ways can and still come through feeling empowered, successful, and happy with where they're at can be really helpful in setting your own goals and expectations. I really liked a saying that I heard last year that breastfeeding is natural like walking, not like breathing. It was very helpful to me as I struggled through breastfeeding challenges this past year with my fourth baby. Breastfeeding and baby wearing may take lots of support and effort and creativity and perseverance to become confident in, but it is possible to overcome whatever hurdles, you know, you're facing and to go on to have a thriving breastfeeding journey. You and your baby can, you know, have this wonderful relationship together, and carrying your baby close in a pleasantly simple way is also very possible. I'd really love to hear your experiences. You know, do you breastfeed and baby wear? Or what sorts of breastfeeding or baby wearing challenges have you experienced? What's helped you persevere? Or how did you have to reframe your goals? To share your experience and insight, head on over to my Instagram. Under the podcast highlights, you can answer the baby wearing and breastfeeding questions. You can find me at the Baby Wearing Club. I can't wait to read your responses. Thanks again for listening to the Baby Wearing Club podcast. Blessings to you and happy wearing.